It was stunning. The president says that the Supreme Court like me on May Juneteenth. This is a person who is ethically unfit, intellectually unprepared, and personally unqualified to be president of the United States, as he sees everything as about him and not about our country. Just as I've said to the president, with him, all roads lead to Putin. I don't know what the Russians have on the president politically, personally, financially, or whatever it is.
The president must immediately cease this behavior. The administration is using the military as a tool to intimidate American citizens.
It is a matter of fact that the president is an ongoing threat to our national security.
It's a fake! We've been suckered in!
Welcome, fellow plebs. My name is Sean, and this is
Tribunus Plebis.
Today, we will be talking about political performance art and how it is messing with our minds. When Nancy Pelosi was elected Speaker of the House after Trump's election, she was talking about how dangerous Trump is. She has, at times, referred to Donald Trump as an existential threat to America and American democracy itself. And as far as this goes, she is actually right. He is all of those things, along with many other and much worse things. Pelosi billed herself as the ultimate hashtag resistance fighter in the world as she took the gavel into her evil little withered hand. And near 4 years later, she claims the same title, resistance fighter. Well, I'm here to call bullshit on that lie. Pelosi and the ideologically conservative, neoliberal corporate Democrat she marches with have done precisely 0.0% to stop Donald Trump's worst policies. I will talk about how accurate that last statement is in a minute, but first I want to address why this isn't so obvious to everybody else who is not a conservative Democrat or a Republican. Because those people know that Pelosi and the other so-called resistance aren't doing a damn thing. The primary reason is that nobody in the mass media really talks about it. The secondary reason is that when they do talk about it, they hide what has happened by promoting the propaganda disguised as stage show, which shields the Democratic Party and its actions, or lack of actions, from any real critique. Let me just hit you with a very recent example, because I really want you to see what I'm seeing here. On December 10th of last year, 2019, Democrats in the House of Representatives announced articles of impeachment which would be filed against President Donald Trump. And the liberal media went mad with the news. Impeachment. Oh my God, impeachment. Impeachment? No, that was a theatrical show and not even a good one. It was a Hollywood set piece. It passed as real for the television cameras but could never stand up to any level of real scrutiny. It was a facade. It was perhaps a well-crafted facade, but a facade nonetheless. And what is the problem with a facade, even a well-built one? Well, they only look good from a certain perspective, front and center. And what does the media do? They stand right in front of and dead center to the facade, and then they turn to the cameras and they tell us it is all real. They tell us that the facade behind them, that is a real building. On a real foundation with real depth and purpose of construction. And they know that what they have just said is all bullshit. And if they don't, then they are so incompetent that the result is, in all essence, the same. It's a lie. So the House impeaches a president. That's pretty serious. How can I compare it to a movie lot facade? Well, you have this president of the United States, Donald Trump. And he is perhaps the most impeachable president in the history of the country. And I really mean that. The Democrats could have charged him with multiple crimes, actual crimes, provable crimes, and they went with obstruction of justice and abuse of power. They could have gone with financial crimes as an example, things which could have been proven in black and white and with numbers. And instead, they went with two weak-ass charges that would be nearly impossible to prove to all but the most anti-Trump people in government. Basically, they threw a sham trial with sham charges and all but begged the Republican-held Senate to say not guilty in short order and go back to business as usual. No harm done to the corrupt system that they all work for, no foul. And just to double down on how weak, servile, spineless, and corrupt Nancy Pelosi is, let's just roll back the tape a little bit to the day of December 10th, 2019, the same day that the impeachment charges were filed. On that day, Speaker Pelosi had another press conference. This press conference was to announce that the Democrats would work with Trump on his NAFTA renegotiations and to let the country know that they had come to an agreement to terms on the USMCA, which is the new NAFTA, and that they would work with the president to pass that legislation. So to borrow an internet meme here, you can see how hard the Democrats fought against Bernie Sanders and Tulsi Gabbard and other outside challengers, and then how quickly they roll over and show their bellies when it comes to passing corporate-friendly bills, no matter who proposes them. The Democratic Party prefers to lose to Trump than to let progressives win. In effect, the Democrats, led by Pelosi, handed Donald Trump a victory on one of the signature issues of his entire 2016 campaign. And they did it just as we were rolling into an election year. And they did it on the same day that they filed these sham charges to impeach him. And what did the media cover? The sham charges. Even as Pelosi and the Democrats just literally handed Trump a massive campaign issue to run on over the next year as he runs for re-election. At best, this is political malfeasance, but more than likely, it is just the corporate wing of the Democratic Party maintaining the status quo for their moneyed donors. Things like this, the tearing of a speech, the wearing of African tribal garb, or the calculated filing of weak impeachment charges, send the media into orgasmic exultations of glee or even contempt on the conservative side of things. But what they don't do is actually change anything. And this is exactly what Pelosi and her sycophants in Congress want. More huge donations from wealthy constituents, more huge donations from corporations, more donations from civic groups. Are you seeing a theme here? More donations from trade groups, more donations from unions, more donations from PACs and super PACs, and more and more and more. It's all smoke, stage makeup, and costumes, guys. Sorry to break it to you. Too often, people on the left side of the traditional political spectrum look at the terrible policies being pushed by Trump and passed through Congress, and they blame only Trump for it. Or they blame Mitch McConnell, or they simply blame the Republican Party at large. Obviously, this is an accurate assessment at multiple levels. These are policies that are being pushed by Trump and the Republican Party, and Mitch McConnell is masterfully passing and supporting it all. But this simplistic, narrow view misses a very large, very important aspect of this entire situation. The Democrats, who are the core of the Democratic Party, are either refusing to resist these policies or quietly supporting them. And they are doing it all under the cover of this hashtag resistance bullshit. And it's not just Pelosi, though she will take most of the flack here. Chuck Schumer made a deal with Senate Republicans to fast-track 15 conservative judges in August of 2018. The reason this is so bad is that judges are really where the rubber meets the road with horrible policy. These are the people who actually decide whether laws are just and who shall abide by them. These are the people who will decide on civil rights cases and abortion rights. They are really a pretty powerful group of individuals who are driven by ideology and preconceptions who can turn this country even further into the current oligarchy death spiral that we find ourselves in. Yet Schumer has the gall to go on television and tell the world how bad McConnell is or how bad Trump is. After doing that shit? After abdicating every single one of his responsibilities and selling America down the river that easily? Let me lay it out here real simple and real plain again. When politicians like Pelosi and Schumer say that Trump is a threat to America, they don't actually mean it. Neither do any of the other Democrats who vote for his worst policies. In the impeachment announcement, Pelosi said, quote, It is a matter of fact that the president is an ongoing threat to our national security, end quote. And this is exactly how the Democrats have talked about Trump from even before he was sworn in. And they were and are correct when they say these things. Trump and his brand of authoritarian politics and personality cult is a threat to this country, a very real and very clear threat. But the reality is that these are just words. These people do not actually mean any of it. In 2018, Democrats supported and passed an extension of virtually unlimited domestic spying powers for the Trump administration. How are we supposed to savvy these two things? Out of one side of their mouth, they say that Trump is a danger to democracy and America itself. Out of the other side, they grant his administration nearly unlimited, warrantless spying powers. The Democrats say that Trump is a Russian plant. He's a Manchurian candidate, a Putin puppet. And then they just fast-track a preposterous $740 billion military spending package. Well, which is it? Is this guy a Russian stooge who can't be trusted? Or is he sane enough to hand the nuclear football to, as well as $740 billion for the military? It can't be both, Democratic leadership. Pick one. He is either extremely dangerous and should be removed from office, or he isn't. And this military spending bill, it came from the Senate, which means it had to go down to the House to be passed. The House, which is, wait for it, controlled by the Democrats. And what did the Democrats do? Did they make changes to the bill, carve away the fat, add poison pills, or redirect money? Nope, nope, and nope. Did the Democratic leadership do anything to prevent money from funding his stupid wall? Nope. Did they limit his power to go to war in Iran? Nope. Did they free the children in cages on the border? Nope. Anything about Saudi Arabia and arms sales? No. Yemen? Nope. Did the Democrats do anything at all to put the brakes on Trump's stupidity? No. They could have. They could have at least gave it a shot, right? Wrong. And you know why, right? Because they have the same fucking owners. They are controlled by and purchased by the same assholes that own Trump and McConnell and Graham. In the end, they all serve the same masters. What Trump policy have the Democrats successfully stopped? What have they even tried to stop? They made an attempt at stopping direct wall funding and succeeded until they failed, and then they just gave up. Anything else? I mean, there must be something, right? How can we seriously assess what the majority of the Democrats in Congress have done and say that they are not complicit? Talking a big game and not backing it up isn't exactly inspiring. The theatrical aspects or sarcastic clapping and paper tearing is not enough to hide the complete and utter failings of the Democrats' so-called resistance to the authoritarian moves of Donald Trump. To dig a little deeper on the so-called impeachment, the weak charges started the farcical proceedings, and a marked unwillingness to call substantive witnesses only furthered the pointlessness of the spectacle. Adam Schiff, the lead prosecutor, he failed to call any witness that could prove anything at all. He said that Trump's interference by holding back witnesses would only end up as a lengthy court proceeding. So, well, screw it. Just send it to the Senate as is. And just to add to the embarrassment, when Obama refused to provide evidence to Congress regarding the Fast and Furious fiasco, all was well in Pelosi and Schiff land. Because Obama was just another asshole on the centrist team who was owned by the same people who own them now. Nancy Pelosi impeached the President of the United States on shit charges, did not challenge that same president in the courts over his obstruction of that trial, and handed the decision to Mitch McConnell in the Senate. The Democratic Party is complicit through both its actions and failures to act, with even the very worst of the Trump Republican agenda. The reason why is because the agenda is a conservative one. How does any of that not reek of rank corruption and political theater? Seriously, how does any of it not scream corruption and performative bullshit? It was a show, and the show wasn't even a good one. And all of this leads me to another question. Why in the hell does the conservative media hate Pelosi, Schumer, and the rest of the corporate-controlled Democrats so much? The simple answer is that they don't. The reason why they are so bombastically against establishment Democrats is because they want you to be against those Democrats. Or if not you, they want somebody to be against them. And both sides will use this supposed divide to slowly drag the political realm towards the right side of the spectrum. Yes, you heard me. The mainstream Republicans don't actually hate the mainstream Democrats and vice versa. In fact, they are tacitly working hand in hand to drive this country to the right. Both parties are working against us, and they are working for their billionaire donors. Notice how I didn't say they are working against me or against you. This is because they are working against us, all of us, together, as a group. And yes, we can say that and still recognize the disgusting extremes that the Republican Party, and Trump in particular, go to in an effort to be cruel and hateful. One does not cancel the other out, but we need to be cautious of both radical centrism and falling into an us versus them on everything and at all costs mindset. We also need to keep in mind that political divides happen for a reason, and not all of them are wrong. If one side is trying to pass racist laws, be against that side. But also be aware that the side you favor just had most of its representatives and senators vote yes on that same bill. And don't let it slide. Don't fall for this false narrative that one side is all good and the other is all bad. Pay attention. Notice the rightward political drift into cruelty and oppression. Don't pick teams. Don't let evil win. This might come a little out of left field here, but let me ask you guys a question. How many of you guys are familiar with the pro wrestling term kayfabe? It's K-A-Y-F-A-B-E. If you're a pro wrestling fan, I know you've heard of this. If not, here's a little bit about it. There are a few differing versions of how this term began, but I like this one. The story goes that it started around circuses and carnivals, and that it was used as a warning to off-duty performers to get in character because a customer was approaching. Like, hey, we wouldn't want the monkey boy to be seen chit-chatting with the trapeze artist and the wolfman over a game of cards, would we? This story suggests that the term kayfabe is a sort of pig Latinization of the words be fake. And again, there are several other origin stories, but that one is my favorite. So the way most of us are familiar with the term is from pro wrestling. Kayfabe is the term used to cover like a wide spectrum of activities which protect the business. Basically, it means that the wrestlers, announcers, and promoters do not break character or even acknowledge the fact that the matches are not competitive but are instead actually pre-planned. More importantly, and in a more modern sense, since we all understand what pro wrestling is nowadays, it refers to keeping the suspension of disbelief in place during live shows. It is similar to an actor breaking the fourth wall, or even maybe a screw-up on film. Have you ever been watching a movie, and you see the hero sip from a beer that's like 90% full, and then the screen cuts away, and then it cuts back and the beer is half full, and then it cuts out and back again, and the beer is once again full? When you notice that, it distracts you. It breaks your suspension of disbelief. You notice it and can't put yourself right back into that magical place that a good movie puts you in. In a sense, the movie broke kayfabe, and because of that, it broke its bond with you. It violated your trust. That's kayfabe, the selling of the storyline both in the arena and outside of it. Back in the day, wrestlers were even careful not to be seen traveling or hanging out with their on-screen enemies. It was both to protect the storyline, but it was also a nod of respect to the fans. Our politicians are running kayfabe on us. They get in the two houses of Congress, they get into their suits and dresses, and they get behind their podiums and they yell. They scream and fight and claw and bark at each other. They go on cable news shows and spit talking points and vitriol, and they act disgusted. Then they vote yes together. on C-SPAN when nobody is watching. And after they vote, they go back onto late-night TV shows or news shows or friendly podcasts, and they say they had no choice. Oh, what else could I have done, Joe Rogan? I had to do it. And it's all just more performance. It's all just another layer of kayfabe. They protect the spectacle with kayfabe and performative bullshit because the spectacle allows them to legally take bribes and profit off of insider trading. By the way, speaking of insider trading, did you guys notice the very quiet, very perfunct announcements on page 19 of your favorite newspaper or website that the Department of Justice was dropping its investigation into those senators who very clearly and obviously were insider trading off the coronavirus news? When those crimes were first brought forth, it was a big spectacle. A ton of kayfabe energy went into it. A lot of people screaming about how wrong it was. We will investigate this crime. This can't go on. And now, a few weeks later, under the rug it gets swept. Announced maybe on poor old unwatched C-SPAN, out of the public eyes where kayfabe can get dropped and they can all work together. And yes, there are the occasional outsiders or those who break kayfabe for real. Donald Trump pretends to be an outsider, but he has his own very real brand of kayfabe which he performs. Bernie Sanders has broken kayfabe a few times, I think, and there have been others as well. But here is another pro wrestling term to think over before you start yelling about how this representative or that senator or this president said this thing about that other thing and that was all real and he or she meant it and that this or that politician, well, he's a good one, damn it. That term is worked shoot. A worked shoot. In wrestling, a shoot is something that is real. A shoot interview is when a wrestler gives an interview out of their wrestling character and talks about the industry as, you know, Bill Smith, the man who plays the superhero gimmick guy wrestler. You could say this is a little bit like Arnold Schwarzenegger coming off the set of the most recent Terminator movie and talking about acting in front of a green screen, maybe. He is no longer in character as the Terminator. It's just Arnold talking. So a worked shoot in wrestling is essentially a fake shoot. It is a scripted act or interview where the wrestler seems, from the audience's perspective, to go off script and start talking about real life things. Maybe they talk about the actual owner of the wrestling company, or maybe about their contract negotiations, or maybe about, you know, the talent booker in the wrestling organization they work for, or maybe even about other wrestlers outside of the show in their supposed real life. But the important thing to remember here is that worked shoots are still worked, meaning they are fake. The entire episode was scripted to appear real, but it is still part of a pre-planned storyline. So the odds are that whichever particular situation you were talking about when that politician you like went quote-unquote off script, it was almost certainly a worked shoot. It was part of the storyline, my friend. It wasn't real. Really, if you take a minute to think about what a worked shoot is, that's a political campaign right there. Campaign stump speeches are worked shoots. All that glad handing and promises, that's all a worked shoot. And right after the election, that's the turn. The turn in pro wrestling is when a good guy turns into a bad guy, or vice versa. But the only time a politician ever really turns into a good guy, if it ever happens, is after they have decided that they have stolen enough money and done enough harm that they can give up their careers. Is it possible I am wrong? Is it possible that the vast majority of the most powerful lawmakers in this country are good people, just trying to be their best and help the common man along the way, and that they aren't despicable human beings who have sold their souls to corporations and the almighty dollar? No, it isn't. Not at all. But even if that were true, and it isn't, I promise you that, then the best possible outcome from all of this is that every single one of them is grossly incompetent. I mean, that's the most favorable view that we can have right now, that they are all more incompetent at their jobs than any of us have ever been at anything at all in our entire lives. To be totally honest here, pure corruption seems more likely. Please stop idolizing and apologizing for these monsters. All of which brings me to another aspect of this political gong show. the ever-revolving door of ideologically identical and morally repugnant people that we are supposed to fawn over rather than support anyone with any semblance of a backbone and integrity. If anyone is interested, there's more of that in episode 5, by the way. Okay, so this past Democratic primary is a perfect example of this phenomenon. And I know I've talked about the primary a few times in these first few episodes, but it was recent and provided a lot of what I found to be interesting insight. So I apologize and promise that you will get a break from this very soon and probably, hopefully, forever. So I watch people, and these are good, solid human beings who I think really do want to do better and care about people, slide their allegiance with every upward and downward tick of the polls or with every good and bad debate performance. I saw several people make the exact same jumps. First it was Biden, mostly due to his name. Then Kamala Harris rhetorically bodied his old ass on stage, and these people all became Kamala stans. And everybody on the outside was like, yo, y'all know she was a cop, right? And she has shitty politics? And those people were dismissed as haters, misogynists, or even racist. It turned out she really was a cop with shitty politics, and nobody wanted her to be president. So the voters moved on to Elizabeth Warren, and she started her campaign. Well, she had all the plans after all, but then she shifted center. And once again, those on the outside said, wait a minute, she hired a bunch of Hillary staffers, no longer supports Medicare for all, and is broadly centering and triangulating both her campaign and herself. And again, they were all insulted. How dare we not like that particular candidate? But the Warren love only lasted for a moment because she lost everything that was good about her candidacy when she centered herself, and all but the most hardcore Warren supporters bailed pretty quickly. It turns out that nobody cares what your plans are if they suck. Then it was Pete's turn, the most disingenuous, dirtbag politician to make real strides in presidential politics that we are ever likely to see. And I'll grant him this, he did a good job of hiding his god-awful politics behind his fake intellectualism and calm demeanor, but it was thinly veiled at best. And everybody on the outside was like, don't you see that this guy just flat-out sucks? He was the mayor of a small city and they fucking hate him. He couldn't even run a college town without falling on his face. That should mean something. Oh, and he is pulling at like 0.1% with non-white voters. This guy is garbage. And Pete's fans never really got the chance to fully grasp how shitty he was because the Democratic Party forced him to give up his presidential bid and endorse Joe Biden before Super Tuesday. And for an hour or two, Amy Klobuchar became sort of popular as a bunch of those voters shifted to her. And as far as Klobuchar goes, the outsiders weren't really saying anything because Amy Klobuchar never really pretended to be anything other than a shitty boss with conservative centrist politics. If nothing else, I will always say that she was probably the most honest politician up there. She just came right out and told us all that she sucked. But that is sort of irrelevant because she very quickly got pressured by the party, quit the race, and got behind Biden. And then we were back to Biden. And now we are stuck with Biden. And the point of all that election stuff I just mentioned is to point out how easily we are made to believe that there was ever a significant difference between Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, Kamala Harris, or Amy Klobuchar. But there wasn't a difference. They're the same person in different disguises. But still, we jump from one to the other, and back to the last one, and then back to the one before that, and finally to the last one, who was the first one, and there was no difference all along the way. Buttigieg was Biden. Biden was Harris. Harris was Buttigieg, and on and on. Anybody who might have even attempted to make any sort of real, significant, systemic change was quickly run out of the debates. And when they couldn't railroad somebody off the stage, they simply loaded the audience with pro-party partisans. And when candidates who made noise about change still wouldn't go away, they spun lies in the media. The party then pressured candidates to stay in and drop out in a coordinated effort to hand the nomination to Biden. And we the people, we played along, right until the last moment, and now we pretend to be happy with it. Why do we keep allowing ourselves to be dragged along in these riptides of nonsense? It has even expanded to include Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York. When the hell did that happen? Cuomo? We have even seen people suggesting, seemingly without any sense of sarcasm, that perhaps Cuomo should replace Joe Biden on the Democratic ticket. And listen, I get it. I really do. When you have a certified moron blather on about poll numbers and racist talking points, all while making terrible decisions when it comes to the economy, race relations, global pandemics, and basic humanity, you tend to yearn for something different. But being able to speak in clear, concise sentences while behind a bank of microphones is not the be-all and the end-all of what we should be looking for in a president. Cuomo waited too long to shut down New York, and the city was devastated by his failure to lead. Cuomo then forced, yes, forced, nursing homes to accept COVID-positive patients, bringing the most vulnerable of our population into direct contact with known carriers. As of mid-May, and I couldn't find any more recent numbers, over 5,000 nursing home residents were killed by the virus. Even more, when the nursing homes sought government assistance with the resulting outbreak, they were denied. Christ, even perennial worst state in the union, Florida, was able to figure out that shoving disease vectors into the most vulnerable people in the country was a bad idea and prevented positive patients from being admitted. And that's Florida. Cuomo, even as his state was reeling under the stress of the COVID outbreak, announced a $400 million cut to Medicaid in New York in a bid to lower healthcare costs to fix a budgeting deficit. He could have done the same thing in other ways, though. Did he elect to raise taxes on billionaires and massive corporations, as an example? Nope. He decided to cut services. Did he try to fill the hole in the budget with any new revenue sources at all? Nope. He just opted for fucking austerity. And then, listen to this, everybody. When the feds rolled out the COVID relief package that would have given $6.7 billion to New York, Cuomo rejected it because it carried with it a requirement to not change Medicare programs. And remember how I just said that he wanted to cut $400 million in Medicare services? So he rejected nearly $7 billion in help because he refused to cancel a cut to healthcare services that harmed his constituents and helped the moneyed elite. He gave up $6.7 billion worth of help so that he could deliver $400 million worth of harm to New Yorkers. Then there is the fact that he spent years running cover for Democrats who were working directly with Republicans and the state Senate to stymie progressive legislation. He helped kill statewide single-payer health care and employee protections, amongst other things. In essence, he is a conservative Democrat just like the rest of them. Yet did the media bring any of this up when they write about Cuomo during the pandemic? Of course they didn't, because he is the status quo that they set out to protect. And he is just another in a long line of Democrats over the past 2 years that we have been manipulated into getting behind and supporting. Facts be damned. And this is just the tip of the iceberg, by the way, because I don't follow New York State politics all that closely. In the end, the simple idea that somebody can go on television and express even modest empathy and competency, and then we see so many people fall at their feet, it really says a lot about where we are as a country. It says a lot about how frightened we are, and how low our standards have dropped. Simply stated, the ability to speak coherently and project basic social skills has almost entirely replaced actually having good ideas, coherent plans, and actual ability. And it has certainly, absolutely erased decades of bad decisions, bad policies, and terrible politics from some of our worst so-called leaders. When Cuomo gets behind a microphone and says something cutting about Trump, or manages to express a complete thought and acts empathetic and competent, just remember that it is all a performance. It is all kayfabe. He is not trying to help us. He is auditioning for a cabinet role and or a future presidential run. He is just another in a long line of terrible people wearing masks to fool us. So as I was kind of thinking about a metaphor to use to talk about this when I was thinking about this episode, I was kind of stuck on using the term veneer, like a thin layer of an attractive material used to hide the use of a cheaper product underneath. Like a desk which appears to be made of mahogany might just be cheap press board with a veneer of mahogany glued on top. It might look damn good from far away, but once you get close and apply a little pressure, it just crumbles and breaks. But then I used the word laminate in another thought, and I got to wondering what the difference was between the two, because I really didn't know. So I Googled it, and when I Googled it, I found out that veneer is a thin layer of real hardwood, and that laminate is usually made of plastic and only made to look like real wood. Our politicians are not even giving us a veneer so that we can assuage ourselves with the knowledge that it is at least made of real wood and can pass the touch and smell tests. Instead, they give us laminate. They give us a covering so flimsy, fragile, and unconvincing that the only way we can buy it as truth is to not even examine it. As a community, we have fallen so far from any sort of standards of truth and honesty and decency that we no longer ask if they really mean it. We just quickly glance at the surface, and if it at least looks like actual wood, we accept it and move on. All we ask of our elected leaders is to maintain the kayfabe while we watch and we pretend that it isn't actually all decided in advance behind closed doors. And then the really chilling and confusing part begins as we defend the supposed realness of what is an obvious sham with such fervor that we make utter fools of ourselves. This foolishness only allows the oligarchy to more fully entrench themselves in power and barricade ourselves from anything that we could even remotely call justice or democracy.
Yeah, I just want to thank each and every one of y'all. It's still real to me, damn it! Thank y'all guys. Y'all were awesome. Thank you so much for saying what needed to be said.